This is the May 17th interview with Nick Ballerini at the Arizona Accordion Club, monthly meeting of. Nick, you don't look like you're 100. Does Ballerini ever get confused with Gallerini?
Oh, yes. No, not really, but surprisingly enough, Gallerini's name is spelled just like mine. I think he spelled it and copied my name, but that's impossible, isn't it?
I think that's impossible because I think he was born before you were.
He's got a G and he hyphenates his name. But Anthony told me that he did that when he got into the show business, and it was easier to use Gallerini instead of Anthony or Tony Gallerini. So I'm not going to do that.
All right, you're not going to do that, but I was talking with Joe Potosa Jr. the other day, and he tells me you're the best accordionist in Texas. Is that true?
No, I'm the best accordionist in the world.
Well, I even like that better. Tell us why you're the best accordionist in the world.
Well, it's self-proclaimed, but no one said any different, so somebody's got to toot my horn. Who else is going to do that?
Well, I think somebody did when he visited Texas a couple of years ago. Luciano Pavarotti sang with the Dallas Symphony Orchestra, and you were asked to join in this concert. What were your immediate thoughts when that happened?
Oh, bravo. I thought it was a fantastic opportunity. That was in Dallas. I had worked with him a couple of years before in Fort Worth, and he's a prince to work with.
So. Well, tell us a bit more about meeting the greatest tenor that ever lived.
Well, I've had a formal education in music, but not having worked with a symphony orchestra on a regular basis. During rehearsal, the leader came down with a baton and with a downbeat, and I had the opening solo, and I'm playing the solo twice the speed. And everything stops, and Pavarotti says, "Hey," he says, "take it easy." He says, "It's your solo."
That's a cute story. I'm sure you've got a lot of stories about performing with Pavarotti. I had the opportunity to go to visit the Salzburg Castle over in Austria.
Uh-huh.
And I'm told that he has a little villa in the courtyard there. Of course, they couldn't confirm that. And I think I found the correct villa that I think was his. But did you find him to be a very private person, or did he open up with you because of Italian descent?
No, I think he does have an accordionist at all his performances because he wants to remember where he came from, you know, and it's part of his act. So I had no opportunity to really converse with him, but he seemed like a real prince, and hopefully he'll, you know, stay a prince if he can lose another 100 pounds. You know.
Well, let's segue from princes to princesses. I saw in your biography that you once performed for Princess Grace of Monaco.
Right, right. She honored us by coming to Dallas, Texas, and I provided the music for the event, and that was at Trammell Crow's residence. So it was quite an event, and outdoors, you know, here's all these people with these beautiful clothes, sweating their all over.
Sweating their, you know what? That's right.
All over, yeah.
But tell us a little bit about Princess Grace on that evening.
I couldn't tell you. I didn't get to see that much of her.
You were too busy performing.
Right.
You've obviously been playing the accordion all of your life. Who introduced you to the instrument? How'd you get started?
Well, this is an interesting story. When I was 8 years old, my father took me to the Chicago Theater. Back then, you got to see a couple of feature movies plus a stage show. And guess who's on stage but Dick Contino, with his pearly white teeth, and I never learned to smile at him. But his accordion was just, with the spotlights and everything, it radiated all kinds of light out into the audience, you know, and it was really glamorous, and I said, gosh, that would be fun. So I started playing the accordion shortly thereafter.
So it was Dick Contino that that got you started.
Yeah.
I noticed from your biography also that you like to play solo and you also play with a band. What's your ideal makeup of a band with an accordion in it?
Well, when we can do it like a 7-piece band, bass, guitar, clarinet, trumpet, Krebs, a drum set vocalist. We did a 1920s party, and I played accordion and piano there, and we had a female vocalist. The party was for a bikers group called the Griffons, and all their ladies were dressed in flapper outfits. And we played all 20s authentic music.
So. Sounds like you could have used a banjo player on that one, too.
Yeah.
What type of music do you really prefer to play?
Whatever the people want to hear. We play for Italian club dances. We play for whatever we can get hired. Fortunately, I've done some nice society jobs.
All right, let's talk about some of those jobs. What's the most interesting gig that comes to mind that you ever played?
I don't know if I can be sued for this. But it happened about a month ago, and I played a house party, and it was just the violinist and yours truly, and it was, I don't want to mention the person's name, but there was a famous football team owner that just really loved our music, and he got up and he danced, and the more honky-tonk we played, the more he danced. So that was really a fun job. We were supposed to play 2.5 hours. We ended up playing 5 hours. And that was, takes some energy, but thank God I still got it.
I say thank God you still got it, too. We're really looking forward to hearing you this evening. What about the most unusual request for a song that you ever received?
I was playing in an Italian restaurant almost 20 years ago. And Sonny said, "Can you play Ave Maria?" And I said, "Ave Maria? Yeah." And they looked to be Jewish to me. So I said, "Well, would you mind humming it?" So they go, "Ave Maria, Ave Maria, Ave." I knew that tune. That's Monongahela, right?
That's a great story. That tops mine. I'm not even going to try to touch that one. Nick, other than practice, what one thing, and just one, would you recommend to the accordionists listening in to improve their playing ability?
To have a friend, whether it be your wife, girlfriend, or just another accordion player, have a friend comment on your playing. You play something and say, "How does that sound?" and get some feedback. And you can, they're honest with you. They may love you too much to tell you, it sounds like CR or SH1T, but that's one of the best ways you're going to improve, I think.
That's good. I've never heard that recommendation before. What are your performing plans for the remainder of the year? Have you got anything special that's coming up?
To be honest with you, no. I have Jazz Festival coming up in Fort Worth later this year. If they call me again for it. So it's true. I've done the Denton Jazz and Arts Festival already this year. That's in Texas.
We know you're from Texas. I've played Potosa myself for 48 years. I've got my Style Master model of Joe Potosa rebuilt for me, and I'm forever indebted to him for doing that. Tell us about this new reedless model that you're going to play it this evening and demonstrate for our members of our accordion club.
It's the Potosa Millennium Chow. That's a lot to spit out in one phrase, but it plays like a real accordion. You would not know that there's not a reason to put it on to play it. Except if you have it set for, it has bellows control. So when you push and pull on it, it's going to play like an accordion. The harder you pull, the louder it plays. The softer you pull, the softer it plays. But it's got over 100 accordion sounds in it. It's got synthesized sounds that are samples that are really authentic. And it's second only to their own Potosa Millennium. And I'm looking forward to playing it. I really enjoy playing it. It's like 15 pounds.
That's what I was going to ask you. What's the weight of it?
So this would be great for people that have been playing for 48 years who may have lost some of their strength. It's a fantastic instrument. Very responsive.
Nick, it's been a pleasure interviewing you, and we're looking forward to hearing you this evening. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bob.